Good morning, church. Good morning to everybody on Facebook. Before I give my communion, I did have an announcement. Next Sunday, we'll be voting to yay or nay for Carson to be the permanent minister here at Central. We're going to have a parking lot church. If it's nice, bring your lawn chairs. When the service is over, you can drive through the canopy out here. And at some point, we'll hand out ballots when you drive through the canopy, and you can drop the ballot in the ballot box. I believe Carson's going to be speaking underneath that canopy via PA system next Sunday. So keep that in mind. You might want to show up if you want your vote to count. And that's what I got for that, and I'm going to give my communion. My verses for communion today I took from Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. It says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, and with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." See, before we believe in Jesus, we are all dead in our spirit to God. We are all blind to his ways, and we are unable to communicate with him, and we are eternally separated from him, and all because of our sinful nature. We cannot change any of this by ourselves or our own works. The only thing that can change our condition is a new spirit and a new life, which Christ gave us as a gift on the cross, when we believe as him as our Savior. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gift of your Son. We thank you for the sacrifice he made on that cross, a gift that we cannot ever repay and a debt that we could not pay. It is because of him that we can come to you in prayer and that we are reconciled to you. In his name we pray. Amen. For offering, I've come to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 8 through 12. I'm not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnest of others in sincerity for your love also. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. I give my opinion in this matter, for this is to your advantage. You were the first to begin a year ago, not only to do this, but also a desire to do it. But now finish doing this also, so that just as there was the readiness and desire, it is there may be a completion of it by your ability. For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. So the question is, what does God want from us in our offering? One, he wants it to be voluntary. That's explained in verse 8. He wants it to be modeled after Christ's example. That's explained in verse 9. He wants it to be motivated by desire to give. That's in verse 10. And he wants it to be based on what you have, not what somebody else has, verses 11 through 12. As we give ourselves fully to the Lord, generosity will in turn overflow. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gifts. We thank you for a Sabbath that we can take a day and reflect on the week that you gave us and all that you provide us. And we just thank you for your great love. In your Son's name I pray. Amen.
I can now say for sure that we're not only gathered on Facebook, we're gathered in person, and it's legal. Thanks to our president who said, "I'm going to overrule the governors if they won't let you worship, because we need prayer and worship back in our country." And all God's people said amen to that. Are you glad to be back? I've been a bachelor most of the past few days, and I'm getting kind of lonely. So I said, hey, I'm going to go to church this weekend, and there's going to be people there. So I got to tell you, I got tired of looking at pews every Sunday. Some of the few who came here would say the exact same thing, but I can't begin to tell you how good it is for you guys to gather in the house of the Lord today, and I'm glad you're here. I know the elders are glad you're here, because the elders and I, we just looked at each other each Sunday, and there's got to be more to it, the worship, than that. The preacher look at the elders, and the elders look at the preacher, but we're glad you're here today. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Joshua chapter 4. We'll be going there in just a second. For all the days of my life, I will never forget the coronavirus. Anyone else? I'll never forget it, and this being Memorial Day weekend, I'm sure in the back of your mind, you'll always remember that we got to come to church on Memorial Day weekend, even though we still remember what's happened the last 10 weeks or so. I still remember what I was doing during 9/11. Anyone else? I had gotten up, I'm not mistaken, I think it was on a Tuesday, I could be wrong about that. Turned on the TV and I thought maybe it was a movie. You know, I thought maybe they had depicted this and thrown this into the movie, and it's like, oh, that's not nice. And then I got to see, and the second plane flew into the second World Trade Center, and trying to remember the announcer's name, Shepard Smith, I think, came on the air, and he said, America's been attacked. We're under a terrorist attack. They didn't know who had did it at the time, but they knew we was under attack, and I'll never forget that. Some of you remember what you were doing when John F. Kennedy was shot. Raise your hand. You remember what you were doing, where you were at when he was shot? And that's always embedded in your mind. That was November 22nd, 1963. Some of you remember what you were doing when the Titanic sunk. Okay, maybe not. April 14th, 1912. I don't think any of you want to date yourself back that far. But wow, a lot of things have happened in this country, haven't they? A lot of things that go down in our memory banks, the things that we'll never forget. I'm grateful that God has created us with an ability to remember. Amen? What would it be like if you couldn't remember anything? I know what some of you are thinking. I can't remember anything. I can't remember my name half the time. When you forget your spouse's name, then you're in big trouble. Your name, it's okay. But it's funny how we can remember 20, 30, 40, 50, can I keep going? 60? Can you remember back 70 years, some of you? Be careful. I don't know if there's anybody here that old or not. We can remember that, but sure as a world we can't remember where our car keys are at. We can't remember where our shoes are at, and we always blame it on the wife because she moved the shoes, right? You ever done that? We can't remember where we put our billfold. Can't remember where we put our checkbook. And sometimes we even lose our Bibles. I told some of you last week on the way out, I have over 30 Bibles. I can surely find one of them somewhere. I like this one the best. But it's amazing how we forget stuff and also how we remember other things. One senior adult put it this way, I can live with my arthritis. My dentures fit fine. I don't really mind my bifocals, but I sure do miss my mind. I like that. How many of you can relate to that? Well, this is Memorial Day weekend, and it is a time to remember. And God has given us the ability to remember, and I'm thankful for that. I want to do something today that we don't do near enough. Maybe we'll do it again on the 4th of July. If you serve in the military, any branch, go ahead and stand up, will you? All right, let's give it up for these guys. I appreciate your service to this country. I am a very patriotic person. Matter of fact, on the 4th of July, I will probably wear an American flag. And if you want me to, I might sing Lee Greenwood, Proud to Be American. You like that song? But you got to kind of push me into that thing. But I'm a very patriotic person. I appreciate what you guys have done for our country. And appreciate all those that have fallen, gave the ultimate sacrifice for our country that are no longer here. But we can walk in this building. Get this. We can walk into this building, forget the coronavirus for a minute, we can walk in this building on a normal occasion and worship the God freely, not looking over our shoulder, not thinking about getting shot, not worried about being persecuted when we walk out the door. We can do that. You realize that? Very few places, very few countries across the globe can do what we do every Sunday. And we ought to be grateful for that. And it's because of you guys who served and those who paid the ultimate price that we can be here today. I want to thank, I don't know if they're watching today, I want to thank my Uncle Cletus Root, who served in the Air Force and retired from the Air Force. I want to thank him for his service. I want to thank my brother-in-law, Dale Cadwalder. He's probably listening today. Served in the Army. He was going to go to the Navy, but he couldn't swim. So he's stuck with the Army. I still rib him about that, but I thank you for his service in the Army. And I want to thank my my niece's husband. His name is Andy Whiteside. And he not only has served in the United States Army, but get this. He is a Army Ranger, and he is going for his Delta Force. And he's 32 years old. That's unheard of for a 32-year-old to do that. But he is dedicated to the cause. I want to thank him for his service. And while we thank those who are still living, I think we ought to take time out to thank those who have gone on before us, who have given the ultimate sacrifice. You want to write these down, you can. Those have died down through the years in America, in the American Revolution, 1775 to 1783, 6,800 people died. In the War of 1812, 2,260 people died. That was from 1812 to 1815. The Indian War from 1817 all the way to 1898, 21,586 people died. The Mexican-American War, 1846 to 1848, 13,283 people died. The Civil War, anybody want to guess? 620,000. That's a lot. Died from 1861 to 1865. The Spanish-American War, 379 people died. World War I, 53,402 people died. In World War II, 405,000 people died. I didn't realize it was that big a number. Korean War, 33,686 people died. The Vietnam War, anyone? You know? You were in the Vietnam War? 47,434 people died in the Vietnam War from 1964 to 1975, 11-year war. The Persian Gulf War, not too many, 219, still a lot, isn't it? Because they died. And the war that we're in right now, the terrorist war, the Afghan war, the war on terror, whatever you want to call it, from 2001 to the present age right now, at least 4,431 people have died, including a friend of mine. Lose any friends during any of these wars? Those friends that you think about from time to time, those friends that paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we might have freedom here in America. You know, I don't know how they're going to combat the war on terrorism, do you? I really don't. It's just a very difficult war that we're faced with, but we ought to pray for our men and women who are willing to give their all so that we might be here today. Write this down, a total of 1,208,480 people have given their life so that we might practice the freedom that we have here in America. It's too many. Free at last, amen? Because of what they've done. We've been celebrating Memorial Day since 1868 when General John Alexander Logan, just after the Civil War, commanded that all the Civil War graves to be decorated, thus giving it its original name, Decoration Day. Remember that? Well, there's some others day. Race Day, the Indianapolis 500. How about this one? Hay Day. I can relate to that. It's the first day, the first weekend, you start baling hay. And I do not miss those days one bit. I'm like Tim over here. Let's put it up in round bales, put it in the barn, and be done with it. I like that. But I like Memorial Day the best, don't you? Because we come here today to remember. I have entitled this sermon, Lest We Forget. And even though we have a lot to remember and be thankful for, I believe there's some past memorials that go way back in Bible times where the nation of Israel was asked to remember. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 4. I want to focus on the first 9 verses, and that's it this morning as we talk about Memorial Day. While you're turning there, the nation of Israel is now under leadership of Joshua. Moses had just died, and he couldn't go into the promised land. You remember why? Because he struck the rock out of anger, and God wanted him to speak to the rock, and he struck the rock out of anger, and God said, because you've done that, you will see the promised land, but you will not get to go in. Now, that sounds a little crude to me, doesn't it, you? all the things that Moses had done, wouldn't God let him in there? But here's the thing. Here's the bottom line we need to remember. God says what he means, and he means what he says. We need to listen to that. And it was also an example for Joshua to do what God says, to the T. So he couldn't go in. He could see it. And he died on Mount Nebo right after he saw the promised land. And it was Joshua who would take the people into the promised land. So let's look at verses 1 through 9. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from the right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulders according to the number of tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a what? A memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Let's stop right there. Now we know that these 12 stones represented what? 12 tribes of Israel, Jacob's 12 sons. But there are some specific reasons that God told Joshua to set these stones up. And if you're taking notes today, I want to mention four of those specific reasons for you as we go along. The first one is this. These memorial stones were set up to shake their memory. Anybody ever need your memory shook? Be honest with you. If you don't say yes, I'm going to ask your spouse and they'll tell me the truth. I don't know about you, but I forget stuff. I really do. Almost every year when we pull the camper, we go to Red Hill sometimes. Anybody ever been to Raccoon Lake? Great place to camp. Turkey Run, raccoons better. You didn't hear me say that. But we try to go to the grocery store, and oftentimes my wife puts this on my shoulders, go to the grocery store and get everything we need to go camping. So I do it. I got it right up here, right? I'll go and get the stuff that I think we need to go camping. Then when I get home, guess what? Half the stuff I was supposed to get, I didn't get, and stuff I wasn't supposed to get, I get. And you guys still do that, and that's why Walmart's still in business, because you guys keep doing that. But here, I got smart in my old age. I write stuff down. Anybody do that? I have a daily planner that I write stuff down. I have a cell phone that I write stuff. Now, sometimes Google erases it. I don't know how they do that, but I lose that stuff, and my memory goes bad. But we have a printout sheet, but you know what? I have no idea where it's at since we moved. It's a printout sheet of all the stuff we need to go camping. Why do we write that stuff down? Because we can't remember stuff. And when you go camping and you don't have, if you don't have ketchup and mustard, it is just not the same. You can eat a hot dog and a hamburger. If you don't have ketchup and mustard and pickles and onions and all the stuff, it just isn't camping. And you got to go spend $5 for a thing of ketchup, $5 for a thing of mustard. And pretty soon, Memorial Day weekend starts to get pretty expensive, and it's all because you couldn't remember what you're supposed to remember. Well, here's my advice to you. Start writing stuff down, and the older that you get, the more that you'll write. Matter of fact, by the time that you are retirement age, you'll have a book written of all the stuff that you could not remember. Write it down. Well, I don't know if they wrote down everything that God told Joshua to do, but I'll tell you what, the Israelites had a memory lapse, didn't they? All the stuff that they were supposed to remember, that God told them to remember, they forgot. And it wasn't too long after they entered into the promised land, they started bowing down to false gods and idols, and they forgot everything that God told them to remember. Look what it says in Deuteronomy 8:19. "If you forget the Lord your God and follow after other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you, you will be what? Destroyed. Destroyed. What happened to them? They did exactly what God told them not to do. They did that. It says in the book of Judges, Judges 2, verses 10 through 13, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what He had done for Israel. God knew how easy it would be for Israel to forget. God knows today how easy it is for you and I to forget all the things that He did for them, all the things that He does for us. When we forget God's commands to us as a people and as a Christian nation, we risk being destroyed, don't we? When we forget God's provision and the fact that He sent His one and only Son to die for us, when we forget that, we risk being destroyed by none other than God Himself. When we seek people and places and things rather than God, we risk being destroyed by the Almighty God. You read the history of Israel. What happened to them? Did you know, do you remember this, that God actually worked through Nebuchadnezzar? He actually blessed Nebuchadnezzar for him to take the Israelite people over into Babylon. God allowed that to happen. Matter of fact, He even caused it to happen. He helped it to happen because Israel took their eyes off of God. Do you know what can happen to America today? You know, we're only a country of what, 234 years old? Do the math, I'm not sure. We're not very old. The nation of Israel is thousands and thousands and thousands of years old, and yet we have become Americans who are a little bit arrogant. Amen? We've kind of forgotten all the things that God has done for America. You read the Constitution of the United States. Friends, it is in God we trust. It's in Him that we trust. And those amendments and those documents that were written by our founding fathers, they include God in almost every aspect of the Constitution of the United States. Friends, if we take God out of our churches and out of our schools and out of our families, God will destroy us, or He will allow us to be destroyed eventually. Isn't it time that we remember? We need to be reminded. Headstones of loved ones we put in the cemetery are reminders of the life they lived and the death that they died. The Ten Commandments, they used to be able to be put on the governing walls. I think some of them are doing it now. I think Mississippi has put the Ten Commandments back on the governing walls. They've allowed prayer in some of the schools. We're starting to do that again. Aren't you glad about that? Monuments are erected in cities to remind people of those that have gone on before us here in America. In Indianapolis, you ever been there downtown? Beautiful monuments. About 2 years ago, I climbed to the top, thought I was going to die. But I got to the top and I looked out and I realized, I'm glad somebody put this up. Because this is a beautiful monument erected to say thank you and remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. There are some beautiful monuments in Princeton. Do you have beautiful monuments here in Lawrenceville? I don't know. I have to look around a little bit. But headstones of our loved ones. I've seen some really nice ones, haven't you? I have. They're memorials. And the Lord's Supper, which we just took a few minutes ago, when we partook, it was a memorial to remember what Christ did for us on the cross. Do this in remembrance of me. God knew how easy it was for them and for us to forget. So He said, put 12 stones up so you'll remember the provisions I give for you. I think the same thing is true for us. We just need to look around. Remember the things I told you to write down? Write down 10 things we're thankful for before you pray. If you do that, you'll realize that God has blessed America. Now, whether or not we're going to obey Him in the future is up to us. We need to, don't we? We better. The second purpose of these memorial stones was to share their faith with the next generation, their children. Look what verses 5 through 7. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder. Now, you ever wonder why they put it on their shoulders? I had to think about that for a while I was preparing this. I think they put it up on their shoulders, not just because it was easier to carry. They could have carried it some other way. I think they put it up on there because they wanted everybody to see it. Look, these stones are memorials. So think about that. And they did it according to the number of tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you in the future when you're who? When your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off, just like the Red Sea, remember? And the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a what? A memorial or a reminder to the people of Israel. And I want you to underline or circle this last word. He says, these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Forever. As of 2009, archaeologists over in the Promised Land have discovered some new rock quarries that they had not saw before. It's in the Jordan Valley, just north of Jericho, and they think it might have been some of the remains of the 12 stones that were set up by Joshua when the Israelites crossed over the Jordan River. Do they know that for sure? No. You know, when thousands of years pass by, there's a lot of things happen to stones, right? And these people that think that the Big Bang Theory happened, it's ridiculous. Friends, I want you to know that God created this earth. God sustained this earth. And God's going to send Jesus back to take His people home someday. And those people that believe in the Big Bang Theory, they're going to get the Big Bang. And it won't be heaven. They better believe now, you agree? Whatever the case, God knew that the Israelite children of the next generation would be asking this question, what do these stones mean? Why are they set up here? Kids do ask questions, don't they? Are we there yet? How many more miles, Dad? Dad, why do we take communion each Sunday? Why do we do that? Do I have to go to church? Oh yeah, not a choice. Remember the show, Kids Say the Darndest Things? Pretty funny, wasn't it? But you know, it was also educational. Because kids do say the darndest things. Sometimes they ask odd questions. But sometimes they ask good questions. Friends, we as parents and grandparents have a responsibility to share our faith with our children and with our grandchildren. Amen? Someone has noted that Christianity is just one generation away from extinction, and I believe they're right. And I don't know if you've noticed or not, but I believe there is a tendency in this generation in which we live, in this great land in which we live, where the spirituality of those who come behind us, the next generation to come, there is a weaker tendency to become spiritual. Have you noticed that? There is a weaker tendency to pray to God. There is a weaker tendency to come to church. There is a weaker tendency to study, to show ourselves approved a workman unto God. There's a weaker tendency to do that. One of the things that we do with our kids, we bought this big, thick Bible trivia booklet. Anybody have one of those? Some of the questions are fairly easy. When you get to the back, some of them are fairly hard. I struggle with some of them. But you know what? Our kids love that. And that impresses me because they are eager to learn, and they'll say this, hey, Dad, can we get the Bible trivia book out and study? Yeah, let's get it out and study it. And they've learned so much through that book. This is another book they need to be in, amen? We need to have our kids in the Bible. I don't care how you do it. If you want to have a devotion with them, that's fine. If you want to encourage them to read a passage of Scripture, that's fine, or a book of the Bible, that's fine. Preferably not Habakkuk, something a little bit longer than that. So they need to study. Our children are the next generation to bring on Christianity in our churches and our families and get this into our government. I truly believe that our government needs God right now. And when God is let back into our government, and back into our families, and back into our churches, America will be great once again. It will. Proverbs 22:6, write it down. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This training starts even before our children are born. How many believe that? Did you know that psychologists now say that if you read a book while you're pregnant with your baby, that your baby will be more studious after they're born? How many of you knew that? Now, I don't know how much truth there is to that, but it makes a lot of sense to me. They say the last thing to go is what? Your hearing. You ever been to somebody in the hospital and they're about to die? And what's the last thing that goes? Their hearing. Be careful what you say. They might come back to haunt you. Because it's their hearing that goes last. Well, maybe it's also your hearing that comes out first, even before you're born. Don't you think maybe that baby can hear their mama read those passages of scriptures? I believe there's some truth to that. And then after they're born, the training of Christianity begins at that very age. And you know when it ends? I don't believe it ever ends until they die, don't you? Or till you die. We've got to continue to train and teach our children and our grandchildren up until they just won't listen to us anymore. And then we still got to try. Do your very best. I want to encourage you to begin today by making every effort to share your faith with your children and your grandchildren, because it's up to them to carry on the torch of Christianity. Amen? A third purpose for these memorials was to shape their worship. Joshua 4:24 says, God did this for that all of the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Now, the word fear here is not a scary fear, a scared fear. It's not an afraid fear. The fear mentioned here is a reverent fear and a respect for God. I think a lot of people are scared to death of God, right? Now, when you sin, there might be a reason to be scared to death of God, because He wants you to come to repentance. But most of the time, it is a reverent fear. Off to the side of your Bibles, I want you to write a three word. The word is awe. A-W-E, awe. That's what He's talking about. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Here, Psalms 33:8, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." I like that word, don't you? Awe. Stand in awe of Him. Have you ever been in a great worship service where awe is a perfect description? And you could just soak it in. I mean, you could be there for hours and hours and hours. There are a few ministers that you can hear for hours and hours. Ben Merrill's one of them. You already know he's one of my favorite. Bob Russell. I could listen to him for hours. Now, I know what you're thinking. Hurry up, Carson. I'm tired of listening to you. I hope not. But, you know, that's an awestruck worship service when you can sit there and listen and listen and listen for a long time, because you are being filled, not only with the Bible, but with the Holy Spirit. That's the kind of fear that we need to have of God, an awestruck fear. In 1981, some of you remember this, January 20th, the American hostages came home from being hostage in Iran. Remember that? Do you remember the very first thing they did when they exited the plane? Anyone? Go ahead. What did they do? They bent down on their knees and they kissed the ground. Well, there were some pretty prestigious people that were held hostage. Some of those were military men and women. And for them to humble themselves to the point of getting down on all fours and kissing the ground was awestruck for all of America. It just goes to show they couldn't wait to get home. I remember when I visited the country of Burma. Guess what? It was okay, but you know what? Couldn't wait to get home. Do you realize that you live in the greatest nation on planet Earth? Yep, you can go to Canada. Won't see anything but trees for a while. You can go to Mexico. You can go to Australia. Yeah, it's beautiful over there. And you can go to Burma. You can go to China, Africa. But you know where I'd rather be? Right here. Very few nations have had men and women so proud of their country that they will give the ultimate price of their life without the blink of an eye. That's America. Amen? Now, some of these privileges have been stripped from America, like prayer in schools, Bibles, prayer on our governing walls, Ten Commandments. But I believe they're making a comeback. I really do. I'm optimistic, aren't you? I'm optimistic about this country. I believe that we can turn the page and come back to God. And I believe that God's wanting to bless us in a most dramatic way. Abortion's another issue. I'm not going to get into that this morning. But I want you to know, if you want God to bless our nations, we're going to have to stop killing millions of babies every year. It's going to have to stop. Yes, there's room for forgiveness. And I'm glad about that, aren't you? But here's the thing with forgiveness. Be forgiven and stop doing that. Stop doing it. Turn it over to God. And the gathering together for worship, aren't you glad? Hebrews 10:25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some have got in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching." I am glad you're here today. I'm glad you're here. I think maybe, just maybe, you'll walk away this Sunday much differently than you did in Sundays past. You'll be more grateful that we can come and worship together. Psalm 95:6, write it down. "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Have you ever been in a church where they kneel? They have the kneeling benches? I don't have a problem with that at all. Matter of fact, maybe we need to put them in our churches again so people will actually kneel and humble themselves in awe before God. I know what some of you are thinking. Yeah, I can get down there, but I can't get up. We'll help you up. We really will. Hebrews 13:15 says, "Through Him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips that acknowledge His name." I don't have to remind you, especially after everything that we have been through the last 9 weeks, what a privilege it is for us to come here today to worship together, to encourage one another, to partake of the Lord's Supper together, and then to leave and be encouraged, amen, to do that. Let our worship shape us into being the person that God has called us to be. That leads us to a fourth and final purpose of these memorial stones, and that was to serve as a memorial service forever and ever and ever and ever. Joshua 4:7 says these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel, not just for now, not just for the next generation, but forever. These stones were set up at Gilgal, about 1.5 miles from Jericho. Are they still there today? No. If you make a trip over to the Holy Lands, will you still see these 12 stones? No. Where are they at? I don't know. But I want you to remember this. When the Israelites turned their backs on God, God still loved them. But you can only turn your back on God for so long. And if you do it long enough, what do you think will happen? He'll turn His back on you. And that is exactly what happened to the Israelites. And I believe that is exactly what's still going on over in the Holy Lands today. The people of Israel have not given their lives back to God. They have not confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they are still in a mess. Has God given up on the nation of Israel? Don't you think so for a minute. Because when Christ comes back and He makes everything right, the nation of Israel will be strong once again. If they accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. We need to pray for these people, don't we? Not just for America, we need to pray for Israel, God's chosen people from the beginning of time, and at the end of time, He'll make things right with them. They need to come to repentance. They need to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. Write this down. 3,500 years have come and gone since Israel crossed over the Jordan River on dry ground. And over the years, much of Israel, even to this day, have forgotten about God. They're waiting for a Messiah. Hello, I got a news brief. He's already come. And guess what? Everybody says He's coming again. He's coming again. And if the nation of Israel, and if you and me, your loved ones and my loved ones, do not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will be lost. I hate going to funerals where the minister gets up and he knows that person's not a Christian. He knows that. And they say these words, "Oh, they're such a good person. They're with God right now." Really? How can they preach a message of salvation, of repentance, confession, of baptism on Sunday, yet when somebody dies and they have a funeral on Saturday, they preach just the opposite? Does that bother anybody else? I always tell people, please don't make me lie at your funeral. There's a lot of truth to that. One of the things on my bucket list is to someday go to the Holy Land. Have anybody ever been there? Been to the Holy Land, anyone? You want to go? I'd love to go. It's on my bucket list. And my wife tells me that maybe next year we'll get to go. I don't know where she's going to get the money. I'm waiting on that. But I'd love to go. And I'd love to stand at the place where the Israelites crossed over the Jordan on dry ground, wouldn't you? And I'd love to go on over to Mount Sinai and see where they crossed over the Red Sea. I'd love to see that. And I'd love to see the place where Jesus died for me on the cross, wouldn't you? And I'd love to see the place where He rose up from the dead 3 days later. I'd love to see the place, at least the place they think it's at. It's close anyway. I'd love to see it. I'd love that to be a part of that. To remember. To remember. You may not get this out of me, but it's true. I love to visit cemeteries. Anyone else? Like to go to cemeteries and look at the headstones when they died and when they lived. And I was there just the other day, and some of them pretty young. We had some classmates in school, and they died their senior year, right before their senior year started. And I drove by, and their tombstones are withered. And even a little stained from all the years. But I like to look at tombstones. And they're doing a good job with some of them, aren't they? I can't wait to get mine. Well, not in any hurry to go underneath one of those things, but I wouldn't mind having a nice headstone made up someday. Listen to some of these things that I've seen on some of the headstones. Here lies Mr. Rusty Gates and his wife Pearl Gates. I wonder which one made it to heaven. Another one reads this, "Are you happy now?" Still another one reads this, "Here lies Lester Tweet, dead as a doornail from his head down to his feet." And here's my favorite, "See, I told you I was sick." Probably won't put that on there. One of my most historic visits was in eastern Ohio. I was not surprised to see some of the tombstones of Civil War soldiers that had died down through the Civil War. But I was very taken back to see Revolutionary War soldiers that had been buried in that cemetery. Ever been to a cemetery like that? Me neither. And my friend who preached at that church, I said, "John, come here. This guy was in the Revolutionary, not the Civil War, but the Revolutionary War. 1775 or whatever. Wow. But you know what? Dating back 243 years of this country pales in comparison to the memorials that were set up in the Holy Lands dating back 2,500 years ago B.C. Wow. They were commanded to remember. Today, friends, we are commanded through Scripture and by God to what? To remember. To remember all the things that God has done for us. To remember those that have given their life, not just for America, but for the cause of Christ. My greatest respect for people are missionaries who are willing to go over there and give their life, not for the country, but for the Lord. And there are people dying today, probably as we speak, over in the region of Syria, for their faith. They're being decapitated, and America tells them to leave, and they said, "I'm not leaving because I'm not done preaching the message of Jesus Christ to these people." And you got to respect that. You might think they're crazy or they're dumb, but I'll tell you what, I believe God has a special place for them. I do. Special place. This past summer, 2019, I got to fulfill one of my bucket lists. I've been to Alaska, that's on the list. This was on the list. Anybody want to guess where I went? Gettysburg. Anybody been to Gettysburg? Go. Go as soon as you can. To stand there on the soil of men and women who have given their all for the price of freedom, I was awestruck. 1863. Thousands of men and women died in the dirtiest, bloodiest war this nation has ever seen. One of the things you may not know about the Civil War is this. Both in the North and in the South, they had what became known as substitute soldiers. Ever heard of it? a person drafted for the military service could actually buy another person to go in their place to fight in the Civil War. That took place until 1863. Guess what? There wasn't no more people to go. So they had to go themselves. Imagine paying someone to fight in your place, knowing most likely that person will not come home alive. How humbling and guilt-stricken that must have been. Yet today, as we gather for worship and we remember those living and those dead this Memorial Day weekend, we are humbled because there's one who took our place, our substitute, substituted himself for us. That person? Jesus Christ. Say it with me, for God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Don't forget John 3:17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What a beautiful verse. Friends, I want you to know that we have a lasting memorial to remember for all eternity. And just like the Israelites who had a memory lapse problem, so do we. And that's why it's important for us to be here today. Not only to remember those 2,208,480 men and women who died that we might have freedom in this nation today, but to remember the one who died over 2,000 years ago so that we can have freedom for all eternity. Isn't that awesome? Lest we forget. Shame on us. Let's pray together. Father God, help us to remember. Yeah, we forget where we place our keys and our billfold and our checkbook. That's not that important. But Lord, help us to remember those men and women who served our nation, those who've given their all so that we might have freedom here today. But more importantly than that, Lord, we thank you for Christ. His willingness to not only live a perfect life, which he did, but his willingness to die my death, the death of all these people here, and the death of all those listening. Lord, help us to remember. Do this in remembrance of me. Lord, forgive us, lest we forget. It's in his name we pray. Amen.